Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My next guest does a hell of a job. He's one of the best ADs out there. Pat Chun at Washington State joining us right now. Where are you right now? Set the scene for us.
Sitting in my home office, and probably like you when I'm at home avoiding my three daughters as much as possible.
I just, on the commercial break, went and peeked at them just to see what hell they were raising, and they're in the backyard. Do you have a dog?
Mondays are tough enough. Mondays are tough enough. I don't need I don't need their instant accountability.
Yes.
For whatever I'm doing wrong.
Do you have a dog at the Chun household?
Yeah, little brother. He's a male dog. That was kind of the running joke that they were going to give me. They were going to give me a boy dog, so we named him little brother. I'm sure you've watched the movie Mulan in your house, the cartoon.
Yeah.
So that's that dog's name. That's where they got it from.
I love that. The Marlins story breaks today. Does that enter your mindset? Do you start thinking about, you know what it means to you guys, or how you would handle it if you had a case like that?
Yeah, I think one of the benefits of where we sit in college athletics was we were always going to study what was going to happen with Major League Baseball, NBA, soon NFL. The Major League Baseball model is probably the most similar to ours and how they're training and how they're traveling. So there's pros and cons with what's going on with the Marlins. It's going to allow us to study and see how they come out of this, if they come out of this, and what moves they make next and what adjustments they'll make. But yeah, it's part of the benefit of where we're at in the calendar for college athletics, and hopefully we can learn something to see what they did right or see what they do differently.
I talked to one of the conference's coaches this morning. He asked me, he said, look, if our state doesn't allow us, and he's in a hotbed state, if our state doesn't allow us to start on time, do you think it would be well received if we moved our camp to another state? Is for you guys, is that even on the radar? Because you have relatively low infection rates in your county.
Yeah, we're for us, no, because of that, because we do have, like, we believe the safest place for us, for our student athletes right now is Pullman. And then we have a responsibility as an athletic department, amongst all of our student athletes and staff to try to maintain the health and safety of our community. But for us, I mean, it's manageable. I think, we announced last week that Washington State was going to go to distance learning for undergraduates for the fall semester. And, a lot of pros, a lot of positives and negatives with both that. I mean, we all prefer to be in person in the fall, but at least from an athletic standpoint, it does minimize, a mass grouping of people coming to Pullman, and, it'll give it bias a little bit more time as we try to navigate, getting some of our teams ready, assuming we're playing sports this fall.
The time right now, the timeline, is it on schedule, or are you telling your football coach, look, you need to plan for starting practice here in a couple of weeks, or what instruction can you give?
Well, our league has done a good job in terms of creating communication lines, making sure we're working through everything together. So, I mean, we're right where we're supposed to be. Like I said, our student athletes and coaches have done a great job with everything COVID related, and whenever it's time to go, hopefully us and 11 other schools in our league can get moving in the same direction, so we can have some sports this fall at our Pac-12 schools.
We're talking to Pat Chun. He is the athletic director at Washington State. These are weird times. We're one week to the next, we're looking and making it up as we go. When this all started, like, I know there were multiple contingency plans that the conference was looking at. You're probably looking at them on your own campus, but You know, how upside down did this get tossed for the average athletic department nationally?
I think upside down, but the crazy thing is the spin cycle still goes. I mean, you live it every day too. It's where we're at as where we're at on Monday is totally different than on by Friday, and heck, even Arizona State's announcement yesterday to redshirt its swim program. I mean, these are monumental decisions that aren't typically happening in a normal year. And as the days go by to get to the end of the week, you have more things you have to make decisions on. And we're trying to provide something to a group of young people here that are committed to Washington State to grow athletically and learn academically. But these are crazy times. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
You're a football coach. I mean, I'm eager to see the team and watch them play games. What's it going to look like? Disadvantage for Nick Rolovich to be kind of the new guy and also not get spring ball, maybe be forced into this situation where he doesn't get a non-conference game, or do you just roll with it because, hey, these are the times we're in?
We roll with it, but the thing, I mean, there's a bunch of things that you really love and respect about Coach Rolovich, but he's a big mindset person, and I've been really, when you run into some guys on the team or you talk to them, you can hear it. You can kind of hear the culture of that team saying, hey, whatever's thrown at us, we'll make the most of it. And hey, we're a team that's going to be at it. They're telling themselves that they're going to be an advantage no matter what. So, sports sports are won and lost a lot of times in what goes on between the years. And I've just been really impressed with how they've attacked this. You know, him and his coaches haven't had the time or as much time being face to face, but in whatever time they're spending, whether it's over Zoom, FaceTime, or phone calls, they've made it a point to make sure that everyone's mind is pointed in the right direction, which has been really impressive.
Have you encountered anyone or neighbor, friend that got the virus, or is it a virus that's happening elsewhere for people in Pullman?
No, it's growing a little bit more here in Pullman. I mean, the number, like, we're no different. Our state, the numbers are growing. So, do you know people specifically? I think we announced last week we had three student athletes that tested positive. There are some friends in Pullman that I know have tested positive. So it's real here. It's just, luckily for us, it just isn't as rampant as it is in other parts of our state or other parts of the country.
Got some new chancellors and presidents in the conference. There's a changing at the top of the CEO group. Michael Schill at Oregon, now the chair, as a president there. But these presidents, they've got holes in their budget. They've got campus decisions to make. What is that like when you've got, I imagine myself, if I were an AD, reaching out to my president saying, hey, this is the lay of the land, and realizing that guy's got, or that woman's got bigger problems. Like, those are billion-dollar problems that they've got on their end.
Yeah, and I think it's the benefit. I mean, I believe I work for the best president in the country, and Kirk Schultz, and all of our discussions, they're always. I mean, he understands. I mean, he's got such a great feel and understanding of college athletics, specifically because he chaired the NCAA Board of Governors, and the good thing with Kirk is I think he's probably talking me off the ledge more than me talking him off the ledge as we talk the budget and contingencies and things that we can control and things we can't control. But in times like this, like any adverse times, and for whether you're a business or a family or whatever it is, it all comes down to leadership. And it's good to in all the CEO meetings I've sat in on, I mean, you're impressed with the level of presidents and chancellors that have been collected in the Pac-12, as they should be, because of the caliber of institutions they are. And as the Pac-12 continues to change and grow, it's good to see Michael Schill and President Causey from Washington and Kirk take bigger seats with the executive committee in our league. And you got three presidents that have really profound understanding of athletics, and we'll keep the goal is to keep moving the Pac-12 forward, and you like where we're headed because of the caliber of presidents and chancellors and ADs we have in our conference.
I'm a little disappointed in myself that I haven't done more reading during this time, but now that I'm home, I find that, like you, with three daughters, I'm spending a lot of time reading, kids' books and doing other things. What's on your nightstand? Have you had a chance maybe to step back and read anything, absorb, learn something, expand your mind?
My wife and I rarely ever read books together, but for some reason we ended up reading. You ever hear of the author David Goggins? He's a former Navy SEAL.
Yes,
it's a fantastic book, and it's really about. It Can't Hurt Me is the title of the book, and really, it's about not making. You know, it's just really it's a wonderful story about David Goggins and all the adversity he's faced and how he's battled through it. So that was it was nice to be able to sit down and read a book simultaneously with my wife and talk through it. So that was probably a newer experience, and I actually just opened up the new Jim Crow because I'm on the Pac-12 has started a new anti-racism social justice committee that I'm co-chair of, so I figure I might as well read as much as I can relative to social justice issues. So that's what's on the nightstand now. But typically I go back and forth with things that inspire you and things that educate you. So I did the inspiration one with David Goggins, and I'm going to the education one with the new Jim Crow.
If I have Goggins right, he's the guy who set the world record for like 4,000 pull-ups. Like he,
that's
insane.
Him.
Just insane.
His mind. He pushes his body to do things, but his will to really push himself and get himself out of his comfort zone is the essence of who he is. And that's a great reminder to all of us that greatness can only be found when you get outside of your comfort zone.
Do you read at the same pace that your wife reads at? Because I encountered this
problem.
We read the same book once, and she got way ahead of me and started telling me things. And I'm like, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that.
And she doesn't waste her time. Like I'll read. I mean, I read the Spokesman Review, Washington Post. I mean, there's a couple of newspapers that I read daily, or at least glance through. And she does not waste her time with newspapers. So, she is a voracious reader. Like she is the most well-read person in my life for sure.
Pat Chun is with us, Washington State's AD. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, he had a COVID-19 test announcement. Did that affect you at all? Were you did that affect the flow of business at all? Was that noticeable on your level?
It did not. Larry told us, I think, after we had hours of meetings on a busy day for the Pac-12. So it is not. Thankfully, Larry's healthy. And, it was a surprise. I mean, you talk about, that was probably the one time I was surprised with someone getting it just because we were in a Zoom and you didn't think anything was out of ordinary. And fortunately for Larry, his symptoms were mild. But no, at least to where I was sitting, it didn't seem like there was any interruption in business.
Pat, I appreciate you making time for us, and I know that we got a lot of Washington State fans who listen in across the state who are alums or fans, and I know there's a lot of interest. You do a hell of a job there. I don't imagine these are easy times. And, how do you stay focused? How do you stay, are you getting some extra exercise, or how do you keep your sanity?
The fitness, at least I feel like I'm in better shape, whether I am or not, it's a whole different story, but I have done better and have been more consistent with my workout. The workouts and the reading for me are probably the two things I've done a better job of. And it's interesting. I think you learn a lot about yourself, when you're not in the office as much as you normally are, or traveling, and the things that really replenish you. So, I feel healthier. I'm sleeping better. But I am one that's amped up to get back to work eventually in some form or fashion.
If they can play, if you guys can play the 10 conference only games, is that bridge you financially, budget-wise, in your athletic department in a way that you can live with? Or is that the best-case scenario at this point?
I think best case. I think right now it's just best-case scenarios. I think number one is, we do, like you feel terrible for all these young people that can't play sports. That's a huge part of their lives, and we had to live with it during the spring, and the hope is we don't have to do it for the fall. But that's first and foremost. And the second piece of it is, whatever the best case scenario is, we're going to have to work. And if we can get to 10 conference games, whether we have fans or not, it's a whole different level of discussion after that. But, it's going to come down to whatever the best scenario is to put a healthy environment in which our student athletes can go compete. That's what we'll do. And if we can't, we can't. But hopefully we can get there.
I appreciate it. I hope you guys do safely get there. You stay safe. Take care of that dog of yours.
I appreciate it, John. Talk to you soon.
All right. There's Pat Chun, Washington State's athletic director. Good stuff from him. I had to slip in the Larry Scott question because I want to know, What's a COVID-19 world test like when the conference commissioner gets it? You know, I imagine that wasn't, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the public perception of that was. I don't know how that plays. You know, I know immediately I thought, oh, I hope, you know, I hope he's okay. But then I also thought, how sick is he? You know, is there, because I originally thought if somebody tested positively in Judah and Alabama, Adriana, maybe you can help with this. If in the early parts of this pandemic, you had had a positive test, would you have been scared or embarrassed or what would you have been? Because I feel like it's shifted a little bit more towards people being less embarrassed to admit it because it is more prevalent.
Yeah, I think originally there's a feeling of like I let people down, you know, and kind of like a shame too, because, you know, we're all supposed to be quarantining. We're supposed to be keeping our distance. We're supposed to be staying at home. And you broke that, and it's obvious you broke it because you got COVID, you know? So it's like, there is like a shame element. But like you said, I think it still kind of exists a little bit, but because it is like getting more frequent that people are getting this, there may be a little bit less. But if I were to get it, I think I would still feel that shame.
Would you feel,
like,
would you tell, all right, if you didn't have, you're not going to see me, you're not putting me in any danger, would you tell me?
Yeah, I feel like I'd be transparent about it.
Yeah,
why wouldn't you, though, if you weren't going to see you?
Yeah,
it's if you are going to see you that, you know, that's where the moral dilemma comes.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like there was a stigma at the beginning, like Adriana said, that if you got a positive test, it's on you, you weren't doing a good job of distancing, you weren't doing what you were supposed to do, there was some shame in it. And now it's more accepted, and I think people are going, oh, that's unfortunate, I hope you're okay, and who have you been in contact with? And right. I think there's a little more empathy now.
Yeah, there definitely is. And you can use your own positive test now to like get the attention of everybody saying, hey, take this seriously, I have it. You know, it gives you the ethos you need to get your point across.
I wonder if we'll get to the point where you get some people who haven't, they're not positive, but they claim they had a positive test.
Right.
You know what happens? Like occasionally people get some sympathy or empathy from, you know, they can trade on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, I went through it. It's a horrible thing. That kind of thing.
And how do you vet that? You can't really vet that, can you? Like that's
what I think. Like Larry Scott, show me the test results. Come on now. Want to see it.
See, you can say that. That's where my mind goes, John. I don't think that you're making an invalid point on what that could be. Because, yeah, how sick is he? But that is an uncomfortable discussion to have, isn't it?
I'm just saying, I'm not accusing Larry Scott of, doctoring a positive COVID-19 result. I'm just saying my mind kind of drifted in a world where I don't really trust the Pac-12 commissioner, and I've seen enough behind the scenes to know that, you know, they're playing a semantics and marketing game 24/7. I kind of wondered, like, okay, does he just have antibodies? Was he exposed? Is he really sick? Is he actually sick? Or is this more of a, hey, man, let's take a moment. Everybody stop bashing the Pac-12 commissioner to say, hey, I hope he's okay. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Does that make me a bad human being? If so, then I'm a bad human being. Why are you laughing? What was that? You couldn't hold it.
Yeah, I know. I heard it.
Because it's just fun. Like, I feel like you're the only person that would say, not the only person, but, you know, it's
okay,
just
I'll,
funny.
I'll be honest. After that diagnosis came out, my initial response was, you know, oh, I hope he's okay. And then within about an hour, my phone was littered with messages going, do you think he really has it? Do you think this is a play on, he's trying to get some sympathy? It was a bad week for the conference. They were releasing their financials. They had come out and said, you know, hey, we're going to cancel non-conference games. And, oh, by the way, the commissioner is positive for COVID-19. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying. Kind of wondered. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. We'll talk some Major League Baseball and NBA and much more coming up. Our Big Splash, we bring it to you every day.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the Big Splash.
Sabrina Ionescu made her WNBA debut over the weekend. It was termed disappointing that she struggled, quote-unquote struggled, in the major news headlines. I didn't think she struggled that much. She had a poor shooting day. But Ionescu won in a way that maybe the national media pundits aren't thinking about. Lots of people, including myself and a lot of you, tuned in to see what she would do. We're paying attention to the WNBA. Yes, she shot 4 of 17, had 12 points in the debut. I didn't think it was her best performance. I also didn't think it was a disaster. Ionescu, who a lot of people watched carry the Oregon program to the next level, still has work to do. She's also on a bad WNBA team. Keep an eye on that. She'll get lots of attention as Seattle.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.